Hi, folks. It's great to be with you again today, and glad you're tuning in and listening, whatever day you're listening on. And so today, we're going to sort of continue from last Sunday in a sense. Because last Sunday, we talked about how Jesus promised he would return. And we were assured that he will return and fulfill that promise. This week, I want to talk about another promise which Jesus made, and we will see that it was and is being fulfilled. In John chapter 16, verse 7, we read about Jesus making a promise to the disciples. He promises, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus is talking about his death here, and he promised he would send the counselor. And the counselor is a reference to the Holy Spirit here. Then after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus one day, while eating with his followers, gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John the Baptist is recorded in all four of his Gospels saying that Jesus declared that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And if we read further on in Acts chapter 1, we know that Jesus had told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascends into heaven, and his disciples did as he asked and stayed in Jerusalem. They gathered in the upper room and waited and prayed. At that time, there were about 120 believers gathered together. They had been in the room for about 10 days. Then in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and then skipping down to the last half of verse 11 and verse 12, we read, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?'" And skipping down to the last half of verse 11, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" When we first read this, we might think it's a little weird. I mean, there's a violent wind inside the house, tongues of fire resting on each person, and people began speaking in tongues, other languages, which they did not previously know. Yet these are all miraculous signs. And as believers, why should these miraculous signs surprise us? The Bible is filled with miraculous signs, such as the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites out of Egypt, or the fire from heaven that came down and consumed the sacrifice of Elijah. Or what about the fiery furnace where the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, walked in, and there was another with them? Then there was the miraculous sign of the parting of the Red Sea and the Jordan, parting of the Jordan River. And there's the virgin birth, a guiding star, angels and a heavenly host which show up to the shepherds. And if we skip through to the crucifixion, we read of a thick darkness which covered the land in the middle of the day. The temple curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the graves were opened. And honestly, these are only a few of the miraculous signs which have happened over history. So, these ones on the day of Pentecost should not surprise us. After praying together and waiting in the upper room, the Bible tells us that things started to happen. First, there was the sound like a blowing of a violent wind. When the believers there heard this sound like the wind, they could have been reminded of God's presence and power. I mean, if we read in Job chapter 38, 1 and or Job 40, verse 6, we would read that God answered Job out of the whirlwind. They could have been thinking that God was there and wanted to speak to them out of the wind that they heard. The wind could have also symbolized new life to those who were there, as Ezekiel prophesied to the wind to bring the breath of God into the dead bones in the valley, and there was new life in those dead bones. So the wind could have reminded them of that new life. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Jesus here has connected the wind with the Holy Spirit. What sounded like a wind would have excited the believers in the room, the 120 that were there. It would have excited them with thoughts of God's presence, with new life, and the Holy Spirit. Yet it wasn't just the wind. There were tongues of fire. For we read in verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Fire would have quickly spoken to those in the room. They would have heard from their ancestors and have remembered how God had spoken to Moses out of the burning bush, and how God guided his people out of slavery from Egypt in the middle of the night with a pillar of fire which went before them. The believers would have remembered probably Exodus chapter 19 and the last half of verse 18, where we read, "All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of a fire." And it states in Exodus chapter 4 and the first part of verse 17, to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Again, what looked like tongues of fire would have brought excitement to the hearts of the believers. It was interesting to note that what looked like tongues of fire rested on all who had been praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just on 90 out of the 120, or even 119 out of the 120, but it rested on all the believers that were there who were seeking the Holy Spirit. Now, there is no physical fire, but what seemed like fire. Yet this miraculous sign seemed to indicate God wanted to reveal his presence and consume every aspect of each of the believers in the room who were waiting and desiring the Holy Spirit. The final miraculous sign that happened on the day of Pentecost is each one of the 120 believers spoke in tongues. The word tongues in Acts chapter 2:4 could also be translated language. So every believer, every Christian in the upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, in a language they did not know, a language they didn't study, a language they had never learned before. They were just common people from Galilee, and now they were speaking in different languages, different tongues. Interesting to note is that James calls the tongue full of evil and poison, yet God miraculously takes control of it here in these 120 believers and uses it for his glory. Three miraculous signs: what sounds like a violent rushing wind, what looked like flames of fire upon every person, and each person speaking in a language they did not know, in different tongues, are all the fulfillment of the prophecy we find in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, where the Lord declares, "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." The Lord promised he would pour out the Holy Spirit on all people. Jesus promised it would happen. And on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, that promise was fulfilled and is continually being fulfilled to this day. The promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is for us too, as all believers are part of the prophecy of all people mentioned in Joel. The promise, which is for us today, is not just some small thing. It is huge. We just have to look at the lives of the disciples and how they changed so dramatically after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Think of Peter. Peter was so fearful before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit that he even denied that he knew Jesus. Three times he did it. Three times he denied Jesus. But after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he stands up and declares the gospel to thousands of people. Quite a change. Think of the 120 believers that day. For that day, for days, they have been hiding in the upper room and praying. They're fearful that the Jews will find them. Now, they are not shrinking back in fear, as they are filled with the Holy Spirit. For when others heard the noise of these 120 speaking in tongues, they came to see what was going on. So they weren't speaking quietly in tongues. They were speaking quite loudly, and others heard. Many who came were Jews and converts to Judaism. So these are the people they were fearful of before, and they were hiding in the upper room. They were from places such as Egypt, Mesopotamia, Judea, Pamphylia, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, and other nations. And we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, in the last half of the verse, these people are stating, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gave the 120 an incredible desire to praise God without fear of those who were around them. They weren't concerned how loud they were. They were focused on God and praising Him for the wonderful things He had done. As it were, they could not contain their praise to God for all He had done. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, strong desire to praise God, as it does today when the Holy Spirit fills us. We read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks the word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Not only are we filled with praise and worship, but we are strengthened personally as we speak in tongues. Now, I don't think any one of us would deny that we are strengthened when we get caught up in praising our Heavenly Father. You've all been there. You've been worshiping the Lord, and you just feel your faith strengthened as you worship Him and praise Him. But also, as we speak in tongues, it is our spirit communicating with God. What strength we can draw as our spirit is completely connected with God. As we just become so one with God, our spirit with His spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is abiding in us. The promise is that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And part of that is speaking in tongues. But there is so much more. We know in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, declares Jesus saying, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit is the one who took Peter's fear away on the day of Pentecost so he could address the crowd. He became that powerful witness for Jesus on that day. He would never, never, ever again deny Jesus. We might never speak to a crowd of 3,000 people, or maybe even to a group of 10 people. But the Holy Spirit will give us the boldness and words to share to our neighbors, with our friends, family, and even strangers on a one-to-one basis. And if there is a group of people, He will give us what we need to share then as well. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit indwell us and fill us, enables us to pray more effectively, to pray according to God's will. As we pray, sometimes we are not sure what is needed or what God's will is in a certain situation. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us as we start praying. We might not have the right words, but we can be assured that the Holy Spirit always has the right words for us to pray. Jesus said in John 14, 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." In talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. And in John 16, 13, He said the Holy Spirit would guide us in all truth. Wow, what an incredible promise to know that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means we will learn all we need through reading the Bible, praying, and spending time with God, because the Holy Spirit instructs us. And even if when we forget something or we think we've forgotten something, the Holy Spirit is there to remind us about it. And better yet, the Holy Spirit will keep us from going astray as we listen to Him tell us what the truth is. Now, the key here in this portion about what the Holy Spirit does, how he teaches us and how He guides us and keeps us in all truth, is the fact that we have to hear the Holy Spirit and listen and obey. This, isn't it, what each one of us needs to live out our lives for Jesus? This is not some superficial promise with little meaning, nor is it some big promise that's so big and which would never ever be fulfilled. Also, this is not some promise for just a certain few, a select few. You know, it's not just for pastors, it's not just for leadership people. It's for all people. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. It is an ongoing infilling. The more we walk in the Holy Spirit's fullness, the more He continually fills us. We never have to worry about the Holy Spirit running dry in our lives. This is an incredible promise from our faithful Heavenly Father to each and every believer. It is a wonderful promise for us today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all Christians who come and ask the Father for it. He will not deny. He wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. So if you want boldness, strength, if you want to know the Bible and learn all about it, and all truth, you want to know about all truth, and you have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to ask for it today. It is for you. It is a promise for you that the Father will fulfill. And if maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you know that, but you just feel like you don't have that boldness anymore, or that strength, or you just don't seem to be getting what you desire out of the Bible, or you're not sure what the truth is, especially in these days where truth seems so different from day to day, I would encourage you to ask the Father for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is a promise for you. It is a promise for each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your promises. And again, as we've prayed before, Your promises are yes and amen. They're always faithful. We can always count on when You promise, You will fulfill. You are not like a man that you should lie or even change your mind. And so, Father, I pray for my friends that may have not ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray right now that You would fall afresh on them, and that they would reach out to You and just ask, Father, I desire that gift. I desire You fulfill Your promise in me, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just ask that as they start to worship You and praise You, that You would just fill them, and that they would just experience the wonderful blessing of that third miraculous sign. They would start worshiping You in tongues, and that they would be strengthened beyond means. And Father, for those of us who have been filled with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask for that fresh pouring each day, Lord. We just want more and more and more of Your Holy Spirit so we can bring glory to the kingdom of God. So we will not shrink back, but we will be filled with the boldness and everything that we need. Come and fill us, Father. Allow Your Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us today. Lord, may we be known as people full of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.